Hey, my name is Legacy from the Perfect 10 Club, and you're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we're going to hear all sorts of local sounds and stories this morning on the WGXC Morning Show. We've got local music from the past year highlighted, including songs from Catskill's Lex Gray, from Copaic's The Wild Weeds, from Hudson's Babehoven, and from Catskill's Rodney Allen Greenblatt. Tune in for this, and we'll also hear the WGXC Congressional Report, what the representatives in the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts in New York have been up to in the past week. And it all starts after the local news. Stay tuned on the WGXC Morning Show.
Turns the blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood.
Columbia County-based jazz drummer Bobby Previtt plays with Ray Anderson, and Boar, which is Maeve Charlotte and Zoots Houston, also perform on Friday, January 20th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC will have a webcast of the entire show and will broadcast the show from 8 to 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM. Previtt is a Columbia County-based drummer and composer who has heard international praise, and Anderson has transferred Dick Griffin's multiphonic technique on the trombone to his own singing voice, enabling him to simultaneously blend several pitches to the point where he sounds like a blues-inflected Tuvan throat singer. Maeve Charlotte and Zoots Houston also perform on the show. The Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Friday, January 20th. Turn out to the Avalon Lounge or tune in a WGXC web stream and broadcast at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Report for Tuesday, January 17th. And we start off each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. Right now, the Sunoco in Tannersville has gas at $3.39 a gallon. That's the lowest price, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast on Tuesday is a 23. That's low and in the good range. The UV index is just a 1. And the temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is just below 40 degrees. Over the last 10 years on January 17th, the average temperature has been about 38.5 degrees. So we're still about a degree and a half above normal in as far as Hudson River temperature. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Tuesday. There is a chance of rain after 1 p.m. with a high of 38 and a west wind around 5 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tonight, there's a 30% chance of rain mainly after 11 p.m. with cloudy skies and low around 34 and a west wind 3 to 7 miles per hour. Wednesday, there is a 30% chance of rain or snow showers, depending on your temperature. And that's mostly before 3 p.m. Then it should only be rain after 4 p.m. With cloudy skies, a high of near 40 on Wednesday, with a west wind 9 to 14 miles per hour. Cloudy skies Wednesday night is in the forecast with a low around 29 and a northwest wind 6 to 10 miles per hour for those windmills. Then Thursday, it gets a little tricky. There's a 100% chance of some sort of precipitation, and it mainly could be snow, and it mainly will depend, I guess, on your elevation. But it could be rain, could be freezing rain, could be sleet. There'll be a high of only 35 on Thursday and a low around 31 Thursday night. So as the precipitation is supposed to continue Thursday night, it will be very much about your temperature and where you are. So check back for the WGXC Renewable Weather at WGXC.org. I'm Tom Rowe in the WGXC Newsroom. You can go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories in the WGXC News Update for Tuesday, January 17th. Sean Merkin reports for the Altamont Enterprise that in an ideal world, the bus patrol program would not be necessary, according to Albany County Executive Daniel McCoy. But there are some alarming facts, he said on January 13th. McCoy offered an update on the county's bus patrol program, first rolled out in September, which equipped 59 South Colony Central School District buses with cameras to record vehicles illegally passing stopped buses. He said 50,000 drivers illegally pass school buses every day. The South Colony program went live at the end of November, and in 1 month, between November 28th and December 28th, the county issued 923 tickets in the South Colony School District alone. The tickets generated more than $92,000 in revenue. 60% went to bus patrol and 40% to Albany County. There were gasps in the room, quote, when we got briefed on this, unquote, McCoy said, quote, I felt sick to my stomach because it was a lot worse than I thought it was. One child lost to reckless driving is one too many, unquote, he said. By ticketing motorists who pass school buses when the stop arm is extended and lights are flashing, McCoy said, the intention is to change the behavior of those drivers. The fine for passing a bus is $250. Additional violations with a subsequent 18-month period increase the fine $25 and a maximum fine of $300. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise. Kathleen Moore reports for the Times-Union that the national reading program Reading Partners is expanding its tutor base into the Capital Region. Reading Partners is hoping to recruit 500 tutors from upstate New York to instruct students in New York City virtually. Each would be assigned one child in kindergarten through fourth grade to tutor twice a week for 45 minutes. The program has been used nationally for 22 years and makes it possible for two-thirds of the students to catch up to grade level after 1 year. Quote, our entire program model is one-on-one, high-dosage tutoring, unquote, said Primo Lozana, executive director of Reading Partners. Quote, volunteers literally have a script to follow. Each lesson starts with a tutor read aloud that's of interest to the student to get them interested and excited, unquote. The program progresses step by step through each reading challenge, from words that cannot be sounded out to letter blends that do not sound like the original two letters. To qualify for the tutoring program, students must be 6 months to 2.5 years behind grade level. At the end of their first year of tutoring, 82% of students in kindergarten through second grade have caught up. 75% of third and fourth graders are reading at grade level, Lozana said. Reading Partners may soon expand to work with students in upstate New York. Information on the program is available at readingpartners.org, and you can read more about this story in the Times-Union. Aina de Lamparent Alvarez is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that after years of public debate, Lanesboro, Massachusetts will soon let residents know where things stand on a plan to build a new police station on Prospect Street. Kristen Toole, chair of the town police building committee, said her group is preparing a slideshow presentation on steps being taken ahead of a coming vote on the construction project. Town residents will be invited to a public information meeting to ask questions, and the decision on moving the project forward could come at a special town meeting late this winter or early spring. The most recent cost estimate received was just under $6 million, an amount lower than the first one received, in part because material prices have decreased, Toole said. Taxpayers rejected a proposed $4.3 million building in November 2021, and the select board struck it down before the town voted. In August, the committee moved to combine a police building with an EMS building to reduce costs and open up funding opportunities. Toole recently met with newly elected state senator Paul Mark, who advised her to request help from the USDA Community Facilities Direct Loan and Grant Program. Lanesboro appears to qualify for a 40-year low-interest loan and another grant program that could cover 15% of the cost. The committee continues to look for more funding sources. Quote, it's all just information gathering at this point. Lanesboro residents need to vote on it first, unquote, Toole said. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It would help the wealthy people and big corporations cheat on their taxes at the expense of ordinary middle-class taxpayers.
During his keynote speech at the National Actions Network's annual breakfast to mark Martin Luther King Jr. Day, President Joe Biden said he is ready and willing to work with Republicans, but called them fiscally demented. Biden said he was disappointed to see House Republicans propose a bill that provides a loophole for wealthy people and big corporations. He also criticized a bill relating to the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and said, if necessary, he would veto a national sales tax, something Republicans are also advocating. The White House counsel confirmed it does not keep visitor logs at President Biden's personal home in Delaware, just as there were no visitor logs at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. This comes as some Republicans began wanting the records following the discovery of multiple sets of classified documents at Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. On Monday, Vice President Kamala Harris spoke to students at a Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service event at George Washington University, where she was joined by Education Secretary Miguel Cardona.
Capturing the spirit of who he was and what he wanted, which is we celebrated then as a day of service, is to understand the possibilities that have been yet unachieved, which we must work toward.
Harris called the holiday an opportunity to work toward building on the nation's fundamental ideals. On Sunday, two Democratic House members from New York called on GOP leaders to forthrightly cooperate with the investigations into State Representative George Santos, who has confessed to fabricating significant parts of his resume. Santos maintains he will not resign. The Missouri House of Representatives has passed a rule that requires female lawmakers and staff members to wear a jacket like a cardigan or a blazer in the legislative chamber. Republican Representative Ann Kelly is behind the amendment and said it was done to ensure decorum and mirror the men's dress code. Democrats say it's merely a distraction.
I've seen a lot of lack of decorum in this room in my 2 years here, and not once has that lack of decorum spurred from someone's blazer or lack thereof.
Finally, Wyoming state lawmakers are looking at potentially banning electric vehicles. The proposal considers ending electric car sales by 2035. Supporters say it would protect the state's oil and gas industries. Wyoming Senator Ed Cooper sees gas-powered vehicles as essential for Wyoming's prosperity.
I take that ban on petroleum-based vehicles as an assault on our people and on our industries. And I feel like we have an obligation to speak up, to push back.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we prepared this report on Martin Luther King Day, disturbing news has surfaced which demonstrates just how active and coordinated efforts are by prominent conservative groups to suppress the vote. January 13th, The Guardian and its partner Documented released a report from Heritage Action, the advocacy arm of the Conservative Heritage Foundation. The report provides a look into the creation of boilerplate voter suppression legislation shared among state legislatures to restrict voting around the country. This legislation was aimed at liberal-leaning voters of color and users of mail-in ballots in swing states. To aid the passage of this legislation, Heritage Action lobbied in at least 12 states in 2021, part of a two-year, $24 million, quote, election integrity plan. One-third of the voting legislation filed in Georgia in 2021 was tied to Heritage Action, according to the New York Times. In separate reporting by Urban Milwaukee, an appointed member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission bragged in an email that, quote, we can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee casting 37,000 less votes than cast in the 2018 election, with the major reduction happening in the overwhelmingly Black and Hispanic areas. He continued, "This great and important decrease in Democratic votes in the city was due to a well-thought-out, multifaceted plan." We have links to articles and the Heritage Action Report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News.
El Curris reports for Radio World that two radio towers belonging to WSJS, an AM Christian broadcaster in North Carolina, were brought down by vandals recently, knocking the Class B station and its FM translator station off the air. Radio World explains about the stations. Quote, WSJS is the flagship station for the Truth Network, a conglomerate of 17 stations owned by Christian broadcaster Truth Broadcasting Corporation that broadcast predominantly Christian and Bible-based topics in North Carolina, Virginia, Iowa, and Utah, unquote. Stu Epperson, the owner of the Truth Network, wrote this statement, quote, "Today has been one of the toughest days of my broadcasting life. Someone has destroyed several of our towers. Criminal investigation is underway. The FBI is involved since it's a federal crime. Can't share the details, but please pray for the person responsible to come to faith in Christ, for law enforcement, and for our team as they rush to get us back on the air," unquote. The North Carolina Association of Broadcasters suggested that the tower dropping could have been to steal precious metals, releasing a statement reading in part, quote, "NCAB has recently heard reports from several association members of perpetrators intentionally damaging communications towers and stealing copper from broadcast facilities tower sites. As has been reported to us, at least three radio sites in the Triad area have been vandalized. In one instance, a tower's guy wires were cut, leading to a tower collapsing. These recent incidents coincide with a dramatic increase in metal thefts, with copper, bronze, brass, and aluminum all being targeted, according to law enforcement," unquote. Read the full story at Radio World.
Go to waveform.org for more radio news.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, January 17th. Local early morning temperatures range from 17 degrees in Steventown to 27 up in Tannersville. West of Greene County, it's down in the low teens, but I don't think they can hear me. If you can, hit me up at weather@wgxe.org. Let me know. Maybe we can do something about it. Regional average soil temperature is 33 degrees. Snow falls today about 120 miles away due north near Amsterdam. It's getting closer. Over here in the Twin Counties, we'll see a half-freezing, half-cold day. Layers are a good idea. An expected high of 38 happens at 1 p.m. Rain chances show up about the same time and continue after dark. 33 degrees overnight takes us into a cold Wednesday with a moist afternoon and a high of 45 happening at 2 p.m. Overnight, a dip to just freezing could make things interesting Thursday morning with some mixed precipitation for the morning commute. High of 39 and more rain through the day is expected. Friday, rain stops and we get a high of 42. Sunset today will be at 4:35 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see big old round and burly sunspot 3190 is so large you can actually see it with the simple sun viewing glasses. Please be sure to use caution and the proper safety gear if viewing the sun with a telescope, binoculars, or glasses. The beta-gamma-delta magnetic field of 3190 could pop at any time, bringing X-class flare chances up to 15%. Solar wind speed is currently 461.9 kilometers per second at 8.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair for only AM radio territory. Overnight looks fair below 8 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 186. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Oh.
Catskills Rodney Allen Greenblatt there with Canned Sauce from his 2022 album Near Earth. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
MidHudsonNews.com reports that after 4 days of acrimony, arm twisting, and 15 different ballots, the new Republican majority in the 118th Congress finally saw California Republican Kevin McCarthy sworn in as Speaker of the House very early on January 7th. The 15 different ballots required were the most in 164 years.
The resistance to McCarthy's elevation came from 20 hard-right election deniers and loyalists of former President Donald Trump and almost ended with fisticuffs in the House chamber. After lengthy negotiations, McCarthy won a majority over. All other business was halted until the Speaker was elected, including the administering of the oath of office to each of the members. Newly elected Mark Molinaro, a Dutchess County Republican who represents the new 19th Congressional District, did not take his oath until early January 7th. He then returned to New York to speak at a ceremony for State Senator Rob Rollison. Molinaro said the first 4 days in Washington did not go as he planned, but he characterized the process as healthy. Molinaro said, and I quote, "Despite the time it took, don't mistake it for wasted time," end quote. Noting, and I quote, "There are ideological differences within the majority, but they were confronted very early," end quote. He said that Congress can now get on with the work they were sent to do. Molinaro said, and I quote, "Americans want us to work on driving down costs, protecting and securing communities, the safety and security at our borders, energy independence, and education. This is what democracy sometimes looks like, and the differences of opinions were aired out in the full view of the public," end quote. Adding, and I quote, "The American people delivered a divided government, and that means we're going to have our differences, and sometimes that means we're going to air them out in public. Rightfully so," end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Catherine Tully McManus reports for Politico that Connor Tarosian is now legislative director for Mark Molinaro, the Republican who represents New York's 19th Congressional District. Tarosian previously was a legislative representative for Representative Glenn Grothman, a far-right Wisconsin Republican. Grothman has been quoted saying such things as, and I quote, "A majority of Americans have voted for a party that wants a world in which you cannot call your parents mom and dad," end quote. And I quote, "I know the strength that Black Lives Matter had on this last election. I know it's a group that doesn't like the old-fashioned family. I'm disturbed that we have another program here in which we're increasing the marriage penalty," end quote. Grothman may be best known for being included in one of HBO comedian John Oliver's People Who Somehow Got Elected series. Molinaro paints himself as a Republican moderate and marched in at least one Black Lives Matter rally as Dutchess County executive, while Tarosian's Twitter feed shows the new congressman has hired an ultra-conservative as his legislative director. On January 9th, new congressperson Mark Molinaro got to take his first votes. Molinaro cast his first ballot for the new rules in the House of Representatives when he again reined back in the C-SPAN cameras that had been showing much more than normal during the long process of electing a Speaker of the House. On his second vote, he laid off 87,000 people enforcing the law as Republicans decided to roll back Joe Biden's recent hiring at the Internal Revenue Service. Molinaro wrote on Twitter that, and I quote, "I just voted to protect families, farmers, and small businesses. No problem has ever been solved by empowering more tax collectors. I voted to repeal Biden's 87,000 new IRS agents," end quote. Both local Republicans, Molinaro and Representative Elise Stefanik, voted for the new rules and the layoffs, while Democrats Pat Ryan and Paul Tonko voted against both bills. In Representative Mark Molinaro's first week in Congress, he has broken several campaign promises, and while running as a moderate, he has voted as a conservative. On March 15, 2022, Molinaro, a Republican, wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "Day one, I introduce a bill to implement broader protections and services for those with disabilities," end quote. Molinaro has yet to introduce such a bill. During his campaign against Democrat Josh Riley, the former Dutchess County executive said he believes abortion should be, and I quote, "rare, safe, and legal," end quote. But Molinaro has voted on the so-called pro-life side twice in his first week in office. On January 11th, Molinaro voted for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, voting with Republican Elise Stefanik and against local Democrats Paul Tonko and Pat Ryan.
Molinaro and Stefanik also voted for a resolution, and I quote, expressing the sense of Congress condemning the recent attacks on pro-life facilities, groups, and churches, end quote, while Tonko and Ryan voted against. None of those bills are expected to pass the Democrat-controlled Senate or to be signed by President Joe Biden into law. Molinaro did co-sponsor H.R. 22, which would stop the sale and export of crude oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to China. Philip Pantuso and Lana Bellamy are reporting for the Times Union. U.S. Representatives Marcus Molinaro and Mike Lawler, January 12th, joined other members of the state GOP congressional delegation, now calling on U.S. Representative George Santos to resign. Freshman Hudson Valley Representative Molinaro said Santos should not continue to serve in the 118th Congress. He said in a statement, and I quote, George Santos's dishonesty has eroded his ability to represent his neighbors and serve in Congress. I don't see how he can continue, end quote. When asked for clarification, Molinaro's communications director, Dan Krantz, texted, and I quote, yes, that statement means he thinks he should resign, end quote. Molinaro failed to respond directly when asked about the $1,000 campaign contribution accepted by his campaign from then-candidate Santos. In a statement from his office, Lawler, Molinaro's 17th congressional district colleague, also said Santos should step down. He said, and I quote, it is clear that George Santos has lost the confidence and support of his party, his constituents, and his colleagues. With the extent and severity of the allegations against him, his inability to take full responsibility for his conduct, and the numerous investigations underway, I believe he is unable to fulfill his duties and should resign, end quote. 6 of 11 Republicans in New York's congressional delegation are now calling on Santos to quit. Lawler, Molinaro, former state GOP chair Nick Langworthy, Nick LaLota, Brandon Williams, and Anthony D'Esposito. However, U.S. Representative Elise Stefanik, the House Republican Conference Chair, who represents the 21st District in the North Country, has said nothing about Santos since the first New York Times story in December raising doubts about the biographical claims of the Long Island congressperson. Stefanik's office did not respond to multiple requests on January 12th for comment about Santos. During his run for Congress, Santos' campaign donated $12,000 to at least a dozen Republican candidates, seven of whom won their races. Three of the New York Republicans who received political contributions from Santos, U.S. Representative D'Esposito, Nassau County Comptroller Elaine Phillips, and Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney, have returned the cash or pledged to do so. A fourth, Suffolk County Legislator Anthony Piccarello, said he would donate the money. Santos has said he will not resign and will only leave office if voted out. Read the full story in the Times Union.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information. Next, we hear from Hudson band Babehoven, their song Marion, their 2022 album Light Moving Time, with Jessica Schoppe on viola and Samuel Lieberman on flute.
Yeah. Today is National Day of Racial Healing, which aims to encourage more dialogue about race and racism. Events commemorating the day in New York include conversations about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and a forum of community leaders promoting racial healing in health equity. The day has been hosted annually by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. It's also designed to stimulate people to take action toward creating equitable opportunities for all people to thrive. Lejeune Montgomery Tabron, who heads the foundation, feels healing is essential for racial equity.
We know that we all have been harmed by racism. We know that is a legacy that we must heal from. And we believe that racial healing makes those connections and builds connections across people that allows us to then think about what's best for all.
Two town halls are also being televised about these topics, one on MSNBC and one on Telemundo. And the W.K. Kellogg Foundation is launching a series of tools to help people talk about racism and racial healing. While these conversations might be uncomfortable, Tabron feels it's what is needed to work toward greater racial equity. This is the seventh year of the National Day of Racial Healing. Tabron has found, as people come together, communities have improved from a better understanding of racial issues. She hopes people recognize this day as a starting point.
While we honor this day of action following Dr. King's vision, that it truly becomes a way of being. And as we are creating policy and legislation in our community, we use this way of connecting to make sure that those policies work for everyone.
She notes people have to be willing to do the work and open these dialogues for more people in their communities to join. Tabron adds a lot of work and transformation can happen when people connect across their shared humanity. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Next on WGXC, here is 2022 local music from Catskills' Lex Gray and the Urban Pioneers. The song is called I Believe in You.
I believe in you.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acro with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that the Union for the New York State Troopers had officials' phones and computers seized by State Police Special Investigation Unit investigators last week. The mobile phone of the former president of the New York State Troopers Police Benevolent Association was seized as search warrants were executed at the union's Albany headquarters and the office of a related charity. The Financial Crimes Unit is examining spending, expenses, and compensation of numerous current and former PBA officials with allegations of widespread policy violations, including undisclosed conflicts of interest. The story says there was a mutiny on the union's board of directors, with some members from Western New York examining the union's finances. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that the New York State Correctional Officers and Police Benevolent Association says that 2022 set a single-year record for inmate-on-staff and inmate-on-inmate assaults in New York prisons, up 31%. The union is claiming the violence came after the Humane Alternatives for Long-Term Solitary Confinement Act took effect last April. Union President Michael Powers said, quote, "Now more than ever, we need the New York State Legislature to put common sense over political agendas and address the skyrocketing violence we've been experiencing since the enactment of the HALT Act," unquote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that Bob Bafis, a local horticulture expert, ginseng specialist, educator, and gardening columnist, died January 12th in Florida. Quote, "Bob passed away yesterday while playing softball with his buddies," unquote, his friend Tony Melizuo wrote in an email January 13th. Quote, "He collapsed on the field. They tried to revive him with CPR, but he did not respond," unquote, Melizuo said. Quote, "I know he would want us to remember him as the loving guy he was," unquote. Bifus was 72 and lived in Schoharie County. He had a master's degree in agriculture from Cornell University and retired in 2009 as the Agriculture and Natural Resources Program Leader for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Greene County. The Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties put out a statement after his death reading in part, quote, "Without Bob, there would be no Agroforestry Resource Center today in ACRA. Those of us who were privileged to call him a friend are heartbroken. As we deal with our collective loss, we will share special photos, stories, and thoughts from staff and volunteers of Bob over the next few weeks," unquote. Funeral services have not been announced at the time of this story. Read more about it in porcupinesoup.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Drank a lot of coffee today. Got lost in the fray. I gave all I had for a time. Then by some strange design, I got a case of the empties, the ruler of my world, a lost, forgotten pearl. When fire leaves a
oh,
same way. Some of us go astray. I walk so far from them all. Instead of dropping the ball, I seem to carry so many. The colors don't align. A question of time. I seem to lose what I find. Please give me a sign soon. Really want to find out the truth. And then I just lay down and cry. The waters don't really go by me. Give me something I can see. Something bigger and louder than the voices in me. Something to believe.
In the WGXC community calendar this week, there are all sorts of things for you to do in person, virtually, all sorts of different ways. On Tuesday, January 17th, there's a NARCON training at the Hudson Area Library. They're held on the third Tuesday of each month at 10 a.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Wednesday, January 18th, the Catskill Town Board has a committee meeting, and Catskill has their meetings partnered with WGXC. They have a live web stream. If you go to WGXC.org, click on the listen button, you'll hear the meeting if you can't make it in person. It's at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, January 18th. That's the Catskill Town Board meeting at 439 Main Street in Catskill. On Friday, January 20th, the Faces of Catskill exhibition comes to the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Create Space on Main Street in Catskill. David McIntyre's portraits of Catskill locals are at the Create Gallery Fridays from 4 to 7 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Sharing Public Spaces Community Conversation is Friday, January 20th at the Hudson Area Library at 5:30 p.m. It's a forum to discuss how Hudson's public square can be shared. Find out more about the public square in Hudson at the Sharing Public Spaces discussion, Friday, January 20th, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Also, Friday, January 20th, Bobby Previtt and Ray Anderson perform, and also the group Boar, which is Maeve Schollerit and Zoots Houston. That's at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 8 p.m. to 10:30. WGXC will have a live web stream and a live broadcast of Bobby Previtt and Ray Anderson and the Boar group Friday, January 20th at the Avalon Lounge. Turn out or tune in. Another turn out or tune in event is Saturday, January 21st. It's also at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And the bands Altram, Savick, and Matt Hunter and the Dusty Fates are performing from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. It'll be live on the radio or live in person at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. That's 29 Church Street in Catskill, Saturday, January 21st. These events and many others are on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Yesterday, a child came out to wonder, caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful, when the sky was full of thunder, and tearful at the falling of a star. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go. Child moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear frozen streams. Words like, when you're older, must appease him, and promises of someday make his dream. The seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go. Springs and 16 summers gone now. Cartwheels turn to car wheels through the town, and they tell him, take your time, it won't be long now till you drag your feet to slow the circles down.
The seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go.
Better dreams and plenty before the last revolving year is through.
And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where.